Yeah, I don't know. I mean, last week was Valentine's Day, right? It was last week, right? It just seems like it was so long ago. Did you guys all have a good Valentine's Day? Because it was good. I remember seeing many of you at church. Of course, that's very good. I'm happy to hear you guys. Some of you guys had a good one. If you didn't, that's okay. We're talking about love again because it's February, the month of love. We're talking about love. It's a very important subject. As a matter of fact, the Bible even says that love is so important. Without it, anything you do doesn't mean nothing. And I mean, that's kind of what we talked about last week. I mean, if you guys were here last week, we kind of went through the couple first verses of this chapter in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13. This whole chapter in the Bible is about love. Kind of describes it. Kind of just paints a pretty little picture of what God's kind of love is. And it kind of talked about all these kind of things. And the first opening verses to this whole chapter on love, it says how important love is. It says that without love, anything we do is just going through the motions. It's just kind of like another thing to do. There's no power, there's no purpose, there's no reason behind us. But, God tells us that it's absolutely important for us to live a life that's filled with his kind of love. Now, here's the thing, is in 1 Corinthians 16, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 16, 14, the Bible says, let everything you do be done with love. Everything. Waking up, going to sleep, everything in between. You know, the Bible says that everything we do be done with love. So if God says that everything we need to be doing in our life, saying, thinking, living, doing, whatever it is, needs to be filled with love, and that anything we do outside of love, it misses the point, well, then we really need to listen up. I mean, the Bible says that love is the most powerful thing any person can do in the entire universe. It's like the most powerful thing. It's not, I mean, it's we think like oftentimes we say, well, think of something that's really powerful. You think of like, oh, the Incredible Hulk, you know, dude's pretty big, dude's pretty powerful, rip things in two with his bare hands, you know, it's pretty powerful. You think, okay, like armies, yeah, the Marines, they're pretty powerful, they got big guns, tanks, blow stuff up, only to build it and then blow it up again. You know, that's pretty powerful, you know, these guys know how to do stuff, you know. You think like, okay, governments, America's powerful, Russia's powerful, they have bears, they have snow, they can, you know, put people on top of bears to run through the snow and shoot things. I mean, that's pretty powerful, you know. But, you know, oftentimes we don't realize how powerful this thing called love is. I mean, God said that love, love never fails. It is impossible for love to fail. The only thing in the world that will never jam, it'll never backfire on you. Love is the only thing in the entire universe that is guaranteed to win 100% of times. And God says that that's what we need to do. We need to live a life that's filled with his love. That's why we say that all you need is love, love, all you need is love. I know it's like, you know, it's a song, I think, you know, somewhere in there. But anyway, that's what the Bible tells us, that let all you do be done with love. Now, let's take another look at this too. In Matthew, the 10th chapter. If you want, you can turn there. Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 16 through 23. I want to read just a couple of verses out of this, but I want to tell you guys what this says. Now, think about it. If love is the most powerful thing you can do in your life, living a life that's filled with God's love. I mean, not just puppy dog love or I love this or I love that. I mean, living a life that's filled with the powerful, godly kind of love that never fails. If we live a life like that, if it's guaranteed to win, then think about it. That's the most powerful weapon you have in fighting all the things that are wrong in this world. It's the most powerful weapon you have to fight against arguments and divisions and depression and all these different things. So wouldn't you think that that's the one thing that the devil, that the enemy, that this world would want us to not do? Is for us, instead of us to be loving, is to be selfish, or us to be, you know, self-seeking, or for us to be hateful or unforgiving. I mean, that would be like the one thing that the enemy wouldn't want us to do is love. So it's kind of like it's kind of difficult to love sometimes. Now, in Matthew 10, this is what Jesus says. Matthew 10, verse 16. I'm going to read you verse 16 and then verse 23 and kind of paraphrase what's in between. It says this. Jesus says, "Stay alert. This is hazardous work I'm assigning to you. You're going to be like sheep running through a wolf pack." Wow. It says, "Though don't call attention to yourselves. Be as cunning as snakes and inoffensive or as peaceful or as delicate as a dove. It's not success you're after in these kind of times, but survival. Be survivors. Before you run out of options," it says, "the Son of Man will have arrived." That's Jesus will have arrived. God has called us to do two great commands, and each one of those commands involves love. you know, what the Bible says here, what God's saying, what Jesus is saying here, it says, be careful, because when I'm sending you to do this thing called love, to live life, to go out to your schools and begin to love people, to go home and be with your families and love your family, to just go out and love me with all your heart, mind, body, soul. He says, when I call you to do this, this is pretty dangerous stuff. He says, this is pretty difficult stuff because there's a lot of opposition that's going to come against you. He says, you know, it's almost like sending sheep in the middle of really hungry wolves. And he says, even more than that, you know, he says, it's going to be really difficult at times. He says, people might look at you weird ways. People might think wrong things or motives about you. People might not even want to hear anything you have to say. But he says, don't worry, because before you're ready to quit, I'll be there. I'll be there to help you. I'll be there to show up on the scene and give you strength, hope, love, peace. He says, you know, I'll never, ever leave you alone in this thing called love. And he says, God's called us to do two things, and both involve love. See, love is difficult to do. I mean, I don't know if you've ever tried to be nice to or love people, but it's kind of difficult. I mean, it's kind of hard because you start to open up your heart and you let people in and you start trusting people. And then all of a sudden they like take a knife and just stab you in the heart a bunch of times. And then they like laugh at you in your face. It's difficult. I mean, I don't know if this has happened to you before, but it's like really, really difficult when it happens, you know? So it makes us want to not love. I mean, it's almost like this whole love thing is like a war. I mean, it's like this battle that God's put you in the middle of where you need to love. It's almost kind of like you'd say like love is like a battlefield or something. It's like you just have to say, you just say like, we are strong because love is a battlefield. I don't know any other words. There's any words in the song I know. But, you know, it's like, but I mean, truly, honestly, it's like, you know, love is this huge battlefield in which we fight and we live in this life. I mean, with love as a thing that begins to move and change people. Because if you want to see change in your life or the life of people around you, you can't do it by manipulation. You can't do it by being passive aggressive with your parents. You can't do it by fighting and arguing your way. The only surefire way to change things for the good is by doing it in the love of God. You know, that's what Jesus says. He says, I'm sending you on this assignment to live a life that's filled with love. And you need to be careful because it'll be really easy to be discouraged. And all of a sudden, Jesus begins to outline this way that we win in this battlefield of love. You know, I mean, there's certain ways to win. There's certain ways to win and certain ways to lose it. But if we realize a couple things, then when you love people and when you try to do your best to live your life for God, instead of quitting or giving up, you'll stick in there. You'll endure. You know, the Bible tells us that if you endure to the end, then you'll be saved. So how do we do that? How do we endure to the end in the middle of this huge war zone of loving people, of forgiving people, of being kind and gentle, of being generous, of living a life for other people? How do we do it? See, we have to realize this. Go ahead, take a turn a couple pages to the right to Matthew 22. The one thing about love is that you got to realize that in this whole arena of love, you realize that love isn't really love until you've given up something. You know, love requires a sacrifice. That's what it is. Love requires sacrifice. Without sacrifice, love isn't really love, because love is expensive. It is. I mean, cheap love is not really love. I mean, you know, you could say, I love macaroni and cheese. Cool. I mean, I love macaroni and cheese. Kraft macaroni and cheese, especially like the three cheese with the shells. I love that kind of stuff. That's tasty. It's like 1,000 calories or something, but it's really, really good. But I'm not giving up anything for the macaroni. I just make it and eat it. You know what I'm saying? That's not really love. But the godly kind of love is expensive. I mean, think about Jesus dying on the cross. God gave up everything. He didn't hold anything back. I mean, it's not just like, oh, I love you, and then, you know, he moves on to something else. I mean, God literally, Jesus Christ literally gave up his everything. It was expensive to him. It cost him everything. So if you're going to tell someone, I love you, it's going to cost you something. It means it's got to come from something inside of you. In Matthew 22, Jesus is telling us, he tells you, this is what you're supposed to do. If you want to live a life that honors God, he says, if you take everything the Bible talks about and you boil it down to the simplest points, he says, there's two things. And I'm sure you guys are familiar with it, but Jesus said, he said right here in Matthew 22, I want to get it right. In Matthew 22, he says in verse right here, 37, he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first great commandment. Jesus says, if you really want to say that you love God, not just like, oh, I love God, I love the music, I love coming to church. If you want to say that you really, really, really love God, it's going to cost you all of your heart. It's going to cost you all of your mind. It's going to cost you all of your soul. He says you need to go dive first, head in, and just dive in 100% into this thing. All your heart, mind, body, soul, strength. He said it's going to take everything of you. So for you to say that you love God is going to be expensive to you. It means you need to give up your efforts, your strength, your love. He says it's going to cost you everything you have to say that you love God. And then he says, if you really want to understand what I'm talking about, it's going to take you not just putting everything out for me, but he says the second part of this is you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. And on these two commandments hang the entire law and the prophets. He says everything that I'm talking about is for you to give up yourself for God. And then for you to give up yourself for other people. See, to not just have some cheap kind of love that says, oh, you know, I love you, high five in church, and then all of a sudden, you know, you go home and you just live your life your own way. He says it's going to be more than that. It's not just a Sunday thing, but it's an every day, every minute, every breath you take, every move you make decision in your life. That's what he's saying. Now, I remember years ago, I used to live over in a Cooley Ranch area, and one of my neighbors, we had this neighbor, and they were, you ever just had next door neighbors that you'll never, ever, ever, ever forget in your entire life? It's like, you know, some people just hold a place in your heart forever, whether it be for good or bad reasons. I remember we had this neighbor, and this dude is kind of crazy. I love him. Me and Pastor Michelle, we still pray for him and his family, but dude's kind of crazy. He would like drive around in like his big old truck with like an American, I think it was a Confederate flag in the back of the car, in the back of the truck, and he'd like drive around up and down the street with it. It's like, the flag was waving. His dude was crazy, and their dogs would run around all over the place. And I remember one time there was an earthquake late at night, and then we were like kind of shooken up. No pun intended, of course. But, so we walked outside to see what's going on. I was like, hey, what's going on? And we see him, like, out there. He's, like, sitting on, like, a lawn chair in his front porch with, like, a beer in one hand. And he had, like, this assault rifle in the other hand. And he was like, don't worry, I got you covered. I was like, all right, dude, night. You know what I mean? This is like, you know, between those two hands, it's kind of a dangerous mixture. And an earthquake, you know, in the middle of the night, kind of creepy. And then, you know, the dude is kind of crazy. But you know what? We're tight, you know, because I don't want to be on his bad side. And, you know, one day we asked him, he said, well, how did you and your wife meet, you know? And we're like, well, what's your story? You know, we were just getting to know each other when we first moved in. And, you know, he had his stepkids and stuff lived in the house and everything. And he told me, he told me his love story. He's like, well, our love story is pretty simple. I'm pretty sure I'm getting it right. But he said, you know, we met at a bowling alley. No. He said, we met at a bar. That's right. He said, we met at a bar. And I'm like, okay, cool. Because my parents met at a disco bar back in the 70s. So I'm like, okay, cool. You know, all right. Everybody has to start somewhere. You know what I'm saying? So he says, well, we met at a bar. And she came home with me that night. And I don't know. And he's like, she made me breakfast the next morning. And I thought, this is a lady I'm going to marry. So we got married. And they got married. And there must have been some eggs, you know? And they got married. I know. And, you know, as we got to know them more, we got to know their kids, and they would talk to us. And one day their kids washed our car without us knowing, and it was all scratched afterwards, but that's okay. And we began to talk to the kids, and it was, you know, the neighbors you'll never forget. And we began to talk, and just watching how they treated each other, how they treated their kids, began to kind of really reveal what they thought love was. Because we found out that, you know, we would constantly hear arguing and yelling coming from the house. We found out that, you know, sometimes the kids would come, and they would, you know, they might have been hit or something like that. And all of a sudden, you know, we saw how this family operated, and we realized, gosh, you know, this guy says he loves his wife, and they say they love their kids, but it's like they don't understand that God's love is so much bigger and better than what they think love is. You know, I mean, the God kind of love refuses to hurt each other. The God kind of love refuses to be selfish. The God kind of love refuses to say, I love you, and then turn around and do things like this. And, you know, we pray for them, and we talk to them, we invite them to church and things like that. And, you know, we just, Pastor Michelle and I was hurt because we're thinking, gosh, these guys, they throw this word around love, and it's such a non it's such a non-loving kind of love that God that they're living in. God has so much more for them, and we realize, you know, the real kind of God kind of love gives up for themselves. You know, when someone's making you mad, you don't punch them, you don't hit them, you don't yell back at them. You know, that's the last thing you would say is love. And here they are saying, this is our love story. And, you know, they hadn't given up anything for each other. They were just living a life for themselves, whatever is convenient, whatever is easy. I mean, and it just broke our hearts. I mean, that's why we still pray for them today, because this is what they think love is. This is how they're operating in their kind of love. And it's not what God has for them. You know, the Bible says that real love is giving of yourself for someone else. It's loving your neighbor, loving your brother, loving your sister, loving your teacher, loving your friend, loving your enemies the way you would at least love yourself. You know what I'm saying? And they didn't yet get it. Because real love, the battlefield of love, is won when you realize that you need to give up something for someone else instead of living your own way, living for your own goodness, living for your benefit. No, it's living for someone else. And that's how we begin to get the upper hand of this thing called love. That's how we begin to, again, we get the upper hand when your teacher's getting on your nerves, or all of a sudden you want to yell at your mom and slam the door and punch holes in walls and set the dog on fire. You know, this is how you win. I don't know. That's how you do it, is you begin to give of yourself. Instead of doing what you want to do, you do what you should do. Or you do what's best for the person you don't want to do these things for. You give of yourself. You give of yourself. I don't know, you hug the dog. Don't light him on fire. No, I mean, you apologize to your parents, even though maybe you think they don't deserve it. You give of yourself, even when it hurts. And that's what love is. See, so you begin to give of yourself for someone else. And all of a sudden, you know, it seems like, have you ever tried really hard to do the right thing and then it just gets harder? I mean, it's like, I'm trying my best. I'm trying to be nice to this kid, but he's just pushing my buttons. So I want to push my fist through his nose. So all of a sudden, you know, it gets really difficult. It gets really, really difficult because you try to do the right thing. And all of a sudden, when the going gets tough, you know, no, please don't resort to violence. All of a sudden, you know, you want to love somebody. So when it gets tough to love people, a person who loves others, a lover of people, needs to keep going. You need to get tougher. Your love has to be tougher than any obstacle that comes your way. Because when your love gets bigger than the obstacle, all of a sudden God begins to rise up. Now, Acts the sixth chapter. Go ahead and turn to Acts 6th chapter. It's kind of a funny story. I like telling the story because I'm a visual person. And when I read Bible stories, I try to picture them like movies. Like I kind of try to picture like, okay, you know, all of a sudden, you know, who would play this person? What would this look like with special effects? I try to imagine stuff like that. Maybe it's because I'm a guy. I don't know. But I try to picture these things when I read the stories in the Bible. And this is a funny story to me, you know? See, all of a sudden, there's a story about what happened, about a problem that occurred when the disciples were loving people. All of a sudden, a problem arose. And they could have either chosen to quit or they could have chosen to love more. See, in Acts, the sixth chapter, it says this. It says, now in these days, the number of disciples was multiplying. Church was growing. People coming to church. They're attending church. They're loving church. They're worshiping. It says the number of disciples was multiplying. Things were going good in church. It says, then there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because the widows were neglected in the daily distribution. See, they had like a food distribution center, kind of like our church does. You know, you go after church, you get food because we're out helping people. So their church had a food distribution center. After church, all the old ladies, all the widows would come and they get bags of food. You know, the Greek ladies, the Hellenists, and then the Hebrew, the Jewish ladies, they would come and people of all different ethnicities would come and they would get their food because they were poor, they didn't have a job, they needed food, the church was taking care of them, it was really cool. So all of a sudden they were doing this, but it says a complaint rose up. It says, if you look in the language, it's a complaint. A fight broke out. There was a riot after church. They said, and the Roman Empire shall be saved. And all the old ladies went out back and they started getting in line for their food. And all of a sudden, the food started getting really low. So the Greek ladies were like, I'm not about to have this. And the Jewish lady was like, no, that's my bread. And all of a sudden, there's this riot of old ladies. These old ladies are hitting each other. These old ladies are beating each other up. And there was this big old riot over bread in the back of the church. These old ladies are hitting each other, punching each other in the face. They're ripping dentures out. They're hitting each other with canes and stuff like that. And there's this big old riot in the back of the church. These old ladies. You see it right there. It's like the Golden Girls on crack. And it says, a complaint, a fight broke out. With the widow, because the widows were neglected at daily distribution. So what did they do? They didn't kick the old ladies out. They didn't shut down the food distribution center. They didn't call the police. Got some crazy old ladies in the back. Gotta get them, you know. I mean, they didn't, you know, they didn't stop loving. They didn't stop their outreach. They didn't stop doing this. Instead, they began to love more. They said, okay, look, the old ladies are getting crazy, so we need to find more people who could love these old ladies because apparently they don't know what love is. So it says they called all the disciples together. And it said the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples. They got all the leadership together and said, look, it's not desirable that we should have to leave the word of God and serve tables by feeding these crazy old ladies. We don't have time. It says, therefore, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose all these guys. And it says, as soon as they did this, it says more people started coming to the church. It says peace came in and things began to change. See, instead of stopping the good things they were doing, they decided to love more. See, when the going got tough, their love got tougher. When you want to quit because it feels like your love's not working, or the efforts you're doing aren't doing what you think they're supposed to do, you need to love more. Your love needs to be greater than any difficulty, obstacle, or challenge that comes your way. So you don't quit. When you try to do things right for your parents, but they only argue back more, you need to increase your love. You need to increase your sacrifice for them. You know, when your teacher is still giving you bad grades just because they don't like the way you look at them, because I've seen it before. I've seen teachers give kids bad grades just because, you know, they don't like them. You need to increase your love towards them. And when you do that, all of a sudden your love becomes greater than the obstacles. And because love never fails, you'll overcome. You'll get through it. That's what they did with the crazy old ladies in the back. Instead of cutting it off and kicking old ladies out of church, they loved them even more. Even though they didn't deserve it. Even though they weren't even appreciative, they loved them more. And because they did, it brought victory in that gang. Into the whole situation. Now, love isn't real love unless it's sacrifice, unless you give of yourself. And then all of a sudden, when you feel like you've given everything and it gets even tougher, you need to give even more. And that's where God's power comes in. And then all of a sudden, when you do that, you realize that, oh my gosh, love is an action. You know, because we can't just say we're going to do this. We can't just be encouraged and be all like, oh, that's really cool. I'm going to go love people. You know, you need to go out and actually do something about it. Real love, the God kind of love, is a verb. It's not a noun, person, place, or thing. It's not an adjective, something that describes something else. It's an adjective, right? Right? Okay. Yeah, it's been a while. Anyway, it's a verb. It's an action word. It's something you do. It's something you live. It's something that you live out. I mean, love has got to be an action. Love can't just be an idea or a thought or a gushy feeling. It's got to be something that you do. I mean, it's kind of like, I know none of you guys would be upset about this, but it's kind of like, you ever seen those fights that start at school? No. One of those fights where it's like, you got these two kids, and they're like, two big old tough kids, but they like just like bumping chests. What? What's up? What's up? I'm gonna hit you. I'm gonna get you, fool. I'm gonna get you. Watch your back. And they just like keep on bumping chests. Like, what's up? What's up? What's up? And then they're like, I know. It's like, yeah, seriously. I mean, you don't want them to hit each other, but it's like, you know, just like if you're gonna fight, punch the dude or something. It's like, look, if security's gonna come over and mace the whole place, at least make it worth it. You know? I mean, no, don't feel that way because that's wrong. You shouldn't want them to hit each other. You guys are bad. That's not love. But you know, it's like seriously. It's not tough love. No, that's not love. Although it is an action. But it's like, you know, they're just talking big game, like they're tough and stuff, but they're not, you know, they're not even, it's, and sometimes that's the way we act about love. We're like, I'm gonna love you. I'm gonna love you. I'm gonna love you. I'm gonna love you. God loves you. Jesus loves you. What? Jesus loves you. And they don't do nothing about it. You know, it's like, you're just a bunch of talk. If you really love someone, if you really want to say that you're going to love someone, it's going to require you to do something. In 1 John 3:17, actually, I want to read it off the Message translation because I kind of like the way this says. But in 1 John 3:17, go ahead, turn there. I'm going to read it, and then we'll shut this bad boy down because that's love. Well, what are we talking about, love? That ending the sermon is not love, but you know what I'm saying. Anyway, it's up here. It says, if you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but you turn a cold shoulder and you don't do anything, what happens to God's love? It disappears. And you made it disappear. Ouch. I mean, that's kind of like, you know, it's like God's love was here, but you kind of told it to go home. I mean, that kind of hurts. And all of a sudden, if you have the ability to help someone, if you have the ability and the means to love someone, and you don't do anything about it, you take God's love and you make it void. You tell it to go home, get out of here. We don't need you right now. I'm just going to talk a good game, and I'm not going to do anything about it. It says right here that love is a verb. Love is an action. Love is something that we do. And if we have the means to do something about something, and we ignore it, then we become no good. We become no good in being God's hands. We become no good in doing God's will, because God's required us, God's told us, God's commissioned us to do something about it and not just ignore it. When you see someone getting bullied, when you see someone getting punked, when you see someone having a bad day, when you see someone struggling with their studying and homework, and you know about it, all of a sudden it's an opportunity to bring and do God's love. But when you ignore it, you know how you see that person and you like you don't want to talk to them, so you don't look at them in the eye. Have you done that before? You tell God's love. Yeah, I've done that before too. Oh, I don't, not to you guys though. But you're telling God's love to disappear. You're saying, God, I don't want your love in here right now. I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to pretend to do it when I go to church. You know what I'm saying? So all of a sudden we do that. And when we do that, we lose this whole battlefield of love thing. And that's how you win. I mean, that's how you do it. That's how you live a life of love, is you realize, okay, real love means sacrifice. So I'm going to get ready to give something up. I'm going to get ready, prepare myself to be inconvenienced. And then you say, okay, when I'm inconvenienced and I want to quit because it doesn't seem like it's working, I'm going to love even more. And when I love even more, I'm going to do something about it, because I'm not just going to talk some game like those two punk kids who think they're going to get in a fight, but they're really not. They just want to look hard in front of a girl, you know? I mean, all of a sudden, we do this and we choose. And when we choose to do that, then all of a sudden, 1 Corinthians 16 says, let all you do be done with love. And then we can say, that's me. I'm doing that. Everything I'm doing is being done in love, because I'm living a life filled with God's love. And when you do that, you cannot and will not fail, because love doesn't fail. Make sense? Otherwise, you end up sitting in a porch with an AK-47 in one hand and a beer in the other hand with some weird, whack life, and you don't want that, okay? Please don't end up like that, you know? Otherwise, it'll make me pray even more harder for people, you know? Like, Lord, just deliver them from assault rifles. Anyway, or whatever, I don't care. Anyway, let's do this. If you guys got something out of God, let's go ahead and give him a praise.